You know, I'm up here today. I feel like Peter in Acts. He says in Acts that he stood with the 11. Yeah. Not that the 11 stood with him, but he stood with the 11. I'm your brother. I'm a member of the body. And I'm standing with you to speak for the Lord, that he could minister his riches into us. We are on the morning line of exercising the Spirit to enjoy the Lord. So I'm excited. I'm happy. And I have a spirit. And this morning in particular, we're going to speak on exercising the Spirit to pray to the Lord. Okay? And you can open your outlines. It's on the tab regarding our spirit. And even while I'm speaking, I'm praying. And while I'm speaking, you all should be praying. You should all be praying. Okay. Before I get into it, I have to be short, but I have to say something. This is a godless age, and it's also a spiritless age. The truth regarding man's human spirit has been held down just as much as the truth concerning God. Man today lives by the flesh and by the soul. Even many Christians who have this precious triune God mingled with their human spirit do not use their human spirit because they do not know they have one. But we're here. And we know. So on us is the responsibility to use, to exercise our human spirit. And Satan does a lot of things to bury this truth. But what a mercy it is for all of us to be here and lay hold of this truth. Lay hold of it. Look around. Go ahead, look around. There's people all around you. And within that body that you see, there's a soul, and within that soul, there's a human spirit. And that spirit contains God, the living God and the true God. We live a lot of our life without that realization, but this morning, let's have that realization. Okay? Okay. Having said that, let's come to the outline. How about we all read Roman numeral 1 together? Ready? Go. Now, when Daniel came to know the writing had been signed, he went to his house in his upper room. He had windows open toward Jerusalem, and three times daily he knelt on his knees and prayed, and gave thanks before his God, because he had always done so previously. Okay, that verse is kind of just hanging there. But you see a man and he's praying. I want to give you a little context, and my burden is really on this first part of the message. The rest will flow quite easily. But I don't know how many of you read your Bible, or let alone have read Daniel in the Old Testament, or Daniel chapter 6, or how recent. So I want to read some verses to give this verse a little context. The first one is Daniel 6:3. Then this Daniel distinguished himself among the chief ministers and satraps, because in him there was an excellent spirit. And the king considered setting him over the whole kingdom. So here God's people, the children of Israel, were in captivity in Babylon. And There was just a change in power. The Babylonian king was destroyed, and a new king was set up. And he saw Daniel's excellent spirit. And he said, wow, I'm going to make him ruler of everything. Okay. But then 6:4. Then the chief ministers and satraps sought to find a ground for accusation against Daniel from the perspective of the kingdom. But they could find no ground for accusation or fault, inasmuch as he was faithful and no negligence or fault was found related to him. Then these men said, we will not find any ground for accusation against this Daniel unless we find something related to him due to the law of his God. Wow. Then these chief ministers and satraps came to prevail upon the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. All the chief ministers of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors have taken counsel together that the king should establish a statute and make firm an edict that anyone who makes a petition, a prayer, a petition within the next 30 days to any god or man besides you, O king, shall be cast into the lion's den. Now, O king, establish the edict and sign the writing so that it is not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot pass away. It says, therefore, King Darius, sign the writing. That is the edict. Okay, that takes us to verse 9. And then the verse we have here, verse 10, on our outline. Now, when Daniel came to know that the writing had been signed, he went to his house. In his upper room, he had windows open toward Jerusalem. And three times daily, he knelt on his knees and prayed and gave thanks before his God because he had always done so previously. What a man, huh? Well, in this chapter, we have God, we have man, and we have Satan. Now, Satan isn't mentioned by name, but he's here. I'll get to that. First, God. Yes, God. Did you enjoy last night's message? God is God. The I am to be everything to us. Absolutely righteous, sovereign, powerful. He has all the authority because he's the unique creator. He is the potter, and we are the clay. This God is here. You have to read it all. He's mentioned a number of times. The living God. God of Daniel. Okay, our God has a purpose. And that is that he desires to be expressed and represented through man. And according to that purpose, he has arranged an economy. That is a plan. To what? To become one with man. How? By dispensing himself into man. And then this man, filled with God, one with God, would express him and represent him to his glory and to the defeat of his enemy, Satan. That's the God that's in Daniel. And yes, here he has chastised his people. You know why? Because they had turned to false gods, much like the age we live in today. They worshipped false gods in the land that God had promised them. And these gods, false gods, brought them into fornication. And this fornication caused them to lose everything. They ended up back in Babylon, the land of idols. Back where their father Abraham began and was called out of. And in this land of idolatry, they were slaves. They were enslaved to these idols. Yes, God righteously had to do something. But he's still the God of love. Still the God of purpose. And nothing will stop him. His people, look at their condition. Easy to lose hope. But God will not stop. and nothing can stop him from gaining man. Okay, man is the second person in this chapter. Now, man here just said, what do you see? You see the world in Babylon, land of idolatry and fornication, right? But you also see the children of Israel. That is God's people. That's us today, God's people. But what were they doing? They were enslaved to these idols. They were enslaved in Babylon. However, there are four men in the book of Daniel, young men. In this chapter, it's Daniel. But these four, they feared God. They loved God. They worshiped God. They served God. You have to read this for yourself. But in particular, in Daniel chapter 6, we see Daniel who knew his God. He knew God. That response in verse 10 is the response of someone who knows God. How do we know he knows God? Because Daniel knew God's Word. You want to know God, and not just subjectively, but subjectively. Not just in his actions. Didn't seem like he was doing too much in that time. Not just in his ways, but by taste. Can you taste God's heart's desire? The drive in him to become one with man, that purpose that nothing can stop him until he gains you. Do you know him? You must know his word. How do I know? Daniel 9, verse 2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the means of the scriptures the number of years which came as the word of Jehovah to Jeremiah the prophet. That's another book in the Bible, isn't it? For the completion of the desolations of Jerusalem. That is 70 years. So, when there is this change of kings, Daniel was reading his Bible, the scriptures, and he saw in Jeremiah 25:11, that's right, it's in there, and 12, that the children of Israel would only be there for God's allotted time to righteously act on his people. But then he would free them from that captivity, draw them back from those idols, and these people would rebuild his temple and establish his kingdom on the earth today by the building up of Jerusalem. God's house is for God's expression, and God's kingdom is for his representation. He was purifying his testimony. He was regaining and recovering his people. And Daniel, when he looked around, would not have known. But he looked to God in the Word. And according to that knowledge, he prayed. Now that says a lot. That says a lot. Okay, you read the Bible. Our Lord Jesus is coming back again, right? Is he coming again?
Amen.
Yes, he's coming again. Daniel, he read it, and he could have just been like, cool, God, do it. And that's it. I know you're sovereign, you're almighty, you're powerful. Nothing can stop you. And then he could have done whatever he wanted to do. You know, he grew up in a king's palace. Best education. Best clothes. Best entertainment. He had everything. He could have just waited. But that's not what he does with God's word. He knew God intimately. He knew he had the full knowledge of God. Because even though God is so powerful, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, God won't and can't do anything without man's cooperation on the earth. It's just not his will. Daniel knew God's will. God, in his economy, in his plan, he wants it fulfilled only through man. You don't believe me, I'll say to you, God became a man. He could have done it from heaven. He didn't. He became a man. Jesus Christ. Oh, our Lord Jesus Christ. And then through a process, he is dispensing this precious person into all of us. You know, we're all members of the body of Christ because this Christ lives in us. This is how God fulfills his plan. And so, God needs our cooperation. Daniel saw it, and he also knew how to cooperate. How do we cooperate? We pray. Daniel was a channel of prayer for God's move in his economy. Okay. A good illustration is like a train. God's moving, right? Powerful. You know, if you live in Fullerton, the trains go by all the time, right? Don't step in front of a train. It's powerful. You're not going to win that one. But man's prayers are the rails. Man's prayers are the tracks for God to move forward. And Daniel, at that time, he was laying the track. And you know what happened? Through his prayer, there weren't many left. God only had four. Maybe by Daniel 6, he only had the one. I don't know. But that was enough. How do we know? After 70 years, the children of Israel were restored to their land. God's people were restored to their Christ. And they built up God's house. And they reestablished his kingdom on the earth. Ah, but there's more. That's all a type and figure. In that humanity, the called race, God preserved a bit of humanity for himself to eventually become incarnate. If the children of Israel had been lost to the idols in Babylon, if Daniel had not prayed, Christ would have not been able to come. We would not have our Savior today. I don't know if Daniel had the full realization of his prayer, but he was faithful to cooperate with the God he knew through the Word. Young people, it's your turn. God has been moving from eternity to eternity on the bridge of time. Men prayed before Daniel. Men prayed after Daniel. Jesus, as a man on the earth, prayed for you. And God has been able to move in. Nonstop. Generation after generation, but now it's your turn. I don't know if you realize this, But I hope after today, you would realize that you are God's channel of prayer. Which means two things. One, God can move through you today if you cooperate with Him. But it also means you can limit God today by not praying. I'm not joking. My heart. Okay. You know, I don't even know if we're going to go through all this thing now. Anyway. But I do have a burden here. That you would be today's Daniels. Amen. Today's faithful channels of prayer. Okay, when I was a student. And see, it said Daniel prayed this way always. Previously, right? So I mean, when did that start? When he was your age. Not my age, your age. When I came into the church life, I came into the church life. Praise the Lord! And there was a few on our college campus. I don't want to mention names, but I want to, but I don't. Okay, anyway. I just treasure them so much. They were my companions. They are my companions. And we realized that God had called us to pray. And that God had called us for His purpose. And without us, He couldn't do anything. Because we read the Word, we mixed it with our faith, and we knew our God to some extent. But we prayed. We prayed. And at that time, we'd go to the prayer meeting of the church because we didn't know how to pray. And we just thought that's what you do. Everyone goes to the prayer meeting of the church. And we would go, and our prayers, a lot of times they were off track. God couldn't move anyway. But we prayed, and we exercised our spirit to pray. Eventually, the few of us, we prayed for our campus, we prayed for our friends, we prayed for God's move. Oh, we just prayed desperately. Our home meeting, prayer meeting. Next thing we knew, we were living together and there was a brother's house. And we prayed every day. We just prayed, not all day long, but we'd have times to pray. We cared so much for one another in that prayer. We got built up. And then the next thing we know, there was a sister's house. And more were coming in. More were coming in. And there was one open home at the time to the college students. And then we started going and visiting the other homes because we heard a word about opening the homes. And we wanted to see those homes open. And we wanted to taste their food. And we wanted to taste their Christ. And next thing you know, more families got involved. Then the church, they recognized it, the administration of the church, and they were praying for us. And then this fellowship was expanded to the body. Other saints were praying, and the Lord brought together a full-time team, a full-time campus team. And they were from all over. I mean, I was in awe. Because we were just college students. And we weren't the only ones who prayed. Remember, this prayer is the answer even to the Lord's prayer while He was on the earth. I'm not boasting in myself in any way. But I am in the line, and I claim that, okay? I'm on the track. And as a college student, I laid a certain portion with my precious companions. I remember after 2 years as a college student, our number went up to about 30 or so. maybe a little more. Remember our Friday night home meeting, there's about 60 people. And it was in a home, but then they moved away, and then so we had it in our brother's house. And we were just enjoying the Lord. And then I went to the full-time training with two of my companions. And while we were there, we prayed week after week for all the ones that were still back there. And I can't say all of them, but most of them followed us to the training. And that pipe has been continuing year after year. I've been serving now 13 years out of the training. And I've seen like three full cycles of students after, right? 4 years. Well, a lot of you stay longer, sorry. We love you, but you should go on. Anyway, follow the Lord, follow the Lord. Sorry, I went longer than 4 years too. And anyway, now I'm serving on that team, like I said, and I'm surrounded by college students from these, former college students that we cared for. And they're all serving with me. And I'm serving with them. And not, here's Emmanuel and here's them, but shoulder to shoulder. I give all the glory to him. But I have to recognize that my responsibility in that. Not as a boast. Not as a boast. But it's what it is. Okay? It's your turn. It's your turn to pray. You see, God sovereignly arranged us for that day. But now he sovereignly arranged your day. He put you in that classroom with those people. He brought you to this campus specifically. He brought these other brothers and sisters to you to be your companions. He arranged this. He put you in your family. He gave you your friends so that you could be a channel of prayer. So that God can move into them and they could join in fulfilling God's purpose. I don't know if this speaking is enough. But I want and I'm burdened that all of you would pick up this burden. I don't have the words. I trust in the Spirit to touch you. But I need to sober you up a little. There's a third person in this story, and that's Satan. Now, he's never mentioned in Daniel 6. You see satraps, which are people that are in charge, kind of like governors and like that, counselors. But they wanted Daniel's position, right? It's pretty obvious. Let's kill this guy so I can get his job. Get his money, get his glory. But behind them, the hidden one, the subtle one, the serpent, instigating. To what? To cut off God's only channel of prayer. This was a fight to keep Christ from coming, because he knew he would be defeated. It was true in Daniel's time, and it's just as true today with you. Satan wants to destroy you. Especially, he wants to destroy your prayer. Eliminate it. Cut it off. Hinder it. And if he can't, misaim it. Daniel's prayer was toward Jerusalem, towards God's heart's desire, not toward his own well-being. Mentions nothing about him praying, "Save me from the lion's den." All he cared about was God gaining his people for his corporate expression and representation. So he will do anything. Okay, I'm going to touch some things because this is a training and because I love you. But the subtle one is hiding. And I got to tell you, I'm not scared of him. But I'm scared of offending the Lord right now. I'll start with entertainments. Because America, if you're not from America, welcome to America. It's a land of idols. It's a land of entertainment. I know, because I have a cell phone, and everything is available to me all the time. And so do you. But have you ever noticed when you, I'm not even saying you're doing anything wrong, but whenever you involve your heart, your mind, your body, and these entertainments, prayer is gone. Prayer is frustrated. That's Satan. He's hiding. He'll use anything good or evil. Also, your careers, young people, money, position, accomplishment, very good. Your education. I'll tell you what I've seen for years with the hope that you would stand against this trend. Every fall, there's lots of prayer for the new year. We have these blending trips. We pump up our spirit, right? We're praying for the new ones. We're praying for God's move on the campus. We're contacting people joyfully. The Lord is doing so much, and we can even see it. But then, what happens? Ezra, what happens? Have you seen it yet? Or are you just starting college? Sophomore. Okay, good. You've seen one around. What happens? What happens, though? You don't know, huh? Okay, you haven't been around as long as I have. I'll tell you what happens. Huh? You get busy. First round of midterms. You get busy, he said, with your first round of midterms. All of a sudden, you are anxious about your future, your life, the comfort level that you will live by. That window closes towards Jerusalem, and you're praying for your grades. Maybe. Or you're just super anxious. And before you know it, that channel of prayer is cut off. And God's move on your campus comes to a standstill. If not all the way, limited. We're not here to limit our God. I'm not condemning you. I'm exposing Satan. Okay? I could spend more time on these things, but I don't like Satan that much. But I'll touch one more. Sports was mentioned. Fashion was mentioned. I'll tell you what, you go shopping, right? There's not much prayer going on, right? Especially nowadays, Amazon. Anyone tempted to check out Amazon Prime during this training? Prime Day, right? Prime Day. Prime deals. Where's God? Who cares? 50% off. Oh. You're relating. That's good. We've all had this experience. I'm exposing Satan. I'm not condemning you. I'm giving you a faithful, loving word. Careful. He is hiding in all these things. And then the second one, sorry, I'm going to do one more, is one game in particular, a video game. It's called LOL. Yeah, I said it specifically. Brothers, I don't know about sisters. That is an idol that has enslaved you, and you have bowed your knee in worship to it for too long. I'm not condemning you, but it's time to consider your calling. You've been called to be a channel of prayer for God's move on the earth. After an hour, two, three, four, it's 3 a.m. There is no more prayer. Let's be honest. Except for, Lord, maybe, sorry about that. I did it again. But where is his purpose in your prayer? Where's the heart for your companions? For the church, for your friends, for the new ones, for the freshmen. I mentioned the three people. Now, I'd like to say it's time to overcome. God is calling us to be his overcomers. His faithful channels of prayer. Daniel did not let Satan frustrate his prayer. Because he knew God according to the word in the most intimate way. He was empowered and he was strengthened by one that was mightier than Satan. I look at you with eyes toward overcomers. I just see overcomers. I don't care how badly you failed. All you have to do is confess your sins. Confess, God, I've been serving that idol. Just confess it. The blood of Jesus, his son, will cleanse you from every sin, and the fellowship will be restored, and the prayer will be restored. Overcome doesn't mean you don't mess up. Overcome means you know what to do when you mess up. I don't want perfect people. Neither does God. He wants people that love him and depend on him. So just love him. Depend on him. Come to him. If your prayer stops and you recognize it, say, I will not let my prayer stop here. Just turn your heart. Make a choice. I am an overcomer by His grace. Lord, it's not my willpower, but I do make the choice. Come in and restore the channel of prayer that you need to fulfill your purpose. Amen. Would you overcome? It's a choice. Don't look at yourself when you make this choice. Just make the choice. Just make the choice. Stand with God. He will stand with you. Satan has no chance. Okay. Let's see. How much time do I have? 17? 10 minutes? Okay, well. 5:10? Okay. Let's go to Roman numeral 2. Praise the Lord. We're just going to skip everything else there. Praise the Lord. Okay, Roman numeral 2. The significance of prayer lies not in asking God for things, but in contacting and absorbing God. Contacting God. Absorbing God. Yes, there are a lot of activities in prayer. There's supplications, there's petitions, there's asking. But the key is that you're contacting God with your spirit. God is spirit, and those who worship Him in spirit and truthfulness. That's right. We have a spirit to contact God. And let me tell you, you contact God, you will absorb God. Daniel contacted God in the Word, and that God got into him with His will and with His desire. Why do you think he could pray that way? It's because he had absorbed God. How could he stand against Satan's tactics? Because he contacted and absorbed God. You don't have a heart for man? Contact and absorb God. Saints, we can contact and absorb God. This is prayer. It's not what the world has told us. It's not a religious activity. Doesn't require beads, bowing down. Doesn't require a wall. It's not even effortful. It's just coming to the one we love and contacting Him regarding everything. Jesus is a man on the earth, committed all things to the Father, and thus he could fulfill God's will. It's your turn. It's your turn to experience this. It's your turn. 3, the proper organ for prayer is the human spirit. A, the Bible shows that God is spirit, and that for us to contact God, we must use our spirit. B, we need to use the proper organ to pray. The organ for prayer is the human spirit. And the more we use it, the stronger it becomes. Like any organ. Daniel had an excellent spirit because his spirit was strong and could withstand all of Satan's stratagems. Do you want an excellent spirit? Amen. Then use your spirit. Use your spirit to contact and absorb God, to pray according to His purpose. See, the human spirit is the deepest part of our being. A person who prays with his spirit contacts God with his innermost part. Let's read this one together. We need to learn to reject our mind when we pray. The faculty for prayer is not the mind, but the spirit. We should forget about our thoughts and not be concerned with what we should say. We should simply, again, The feeling deep within us is the feeling of the Spirit. When we pray according to this feeling, we are exercising our spirit in prayer. Amen. We need to learn. We should simply turn. Okay, I do have some burden here from my experience. Do you want a strong spirit? You know, if you want a strong body, what do? Where do you go to work out? Oh, you go to the gym? The one with all the mirrors? Oh, I'm just trying to get healthy. What's all the mirrors for? Okay, sorry. You know, bodily exercise is profitable for little. The triune God said that, so his little must be a lot. But even more so, I'd like to point you to the Spirit Gym. Do you know where the Spirit Gym is? It's the prayer meeting of the church. That's where I learned how to pray, how to reject myself, how to reject my mind, and how to pray. I had some, what do they call those? Trainers? Personal trainers? Yeah. The older saints. You're a college student, and I'm an older saint. Amen. When I was in college, there were older saints in that prayer meeting, and they were buff in the spirit. Man. They knew how to pray. Effective prayer. Prayer for God's move. It was nothing about ourselves. That was funny. I mean, it was funny back then because I was a silly man, but I would be like, what is going on? How are they doing this? All together, strong, selfless, Christ-centered, God-centered. Where did these utterances come from? Why do they care about what's happening in Europe? But, oh, I learned how to pray in the prayer meeting of the church. And for too long, we've had wimpy college students because they do not go to the Spirit Gym. They do not attend the prayer meeting of the church. I don't know why you don't. Maybe you're looking in those mirrors at the other gym too much. You all have time to go to the prayer meeting. I had a 40-hour week job, studied biochemistry, not the easiest major. Sometimes I wish I picked a different major, have more free time. But I always had time for the prayer meeting. No problem. If someone said, oh, there's a class. It's only available Tuesday night. I'd be like, bummer for that class. Because I had read a book and I'd gone to a conference. It was a call to be an overcomer. And I recognized God needed our prayer to move. What do you value above this? That is your idol. That is Satan. I didn't schedule the prayer meeting on Tuesday. The sovereign God did. Do you want to resist him? You will have a weak spirit. You will not pray. And your life will be full of vanity and misery. Learn at the prayer meeting. Practice at the prayer meeting. No more excuses. I missed the prayer meeting. Never felt good afterwards. Felt horrible going to the prayer meeting. And then someone would say, hey, let's go to the prayer meeting. I'd be like, oh. You know, my kids said it to me too. They're little. They love the prayer meeting because the saints, where we have it at, they have candy and stuff. They think it's the best meeting of the week. They're like, Daddy, are we going to the prayer meeting? I'm like, oh, man. What do you say to that, you know? Anyway. Brothers, when I was in college, I remember there was a game called the Counter-Strike. For some reason, Anyway, don't get distracted. And I remember there was a brother who was really into it. And it'd be prayer meeting time. And he'd be playing and we'd be like, hey, it's prayer meeting time. Let's go. And he's like killing someone. And he's like, no. And then we tell him, you're going to regret it. Do you talk to each other in this way? It's time to go to the gym. Come on, let's go. Oh, no, I'm too tired. You're going to regret it. Do you love them that much? If he said no 3 or 4 times, we'd leave him. But he never did after 3 times. It was awesome. And you know what? I was one of those instigators. But anyway, you know what? Sometimes I wouldn't want to go, but then my thought for that brother would start that, hey, want to go? I'm like, man, what happened? The Lord was caring for us together. I wasn't better in any way. And there was times when someone else would say it to me and I'd go just because of them. I'm looking at channels of prayer. I believe for you. Okay, that's enough. Well, we should have some time, right, for testimonies? Yeah, thank you. I feel a little cliche to say let's pray with our neighbor, but let's pray for our neighbor, with our neighbor. And I would like to hear from you. And you're not on a test. This is just your testimony. I'd like to hear from you, your response, and even let the Lord hear your response. Let Satan hear your response to this word. So that the Lord can work this out in us by his grace. Amen.